We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. And what a program we have for you tonight. Let's begin in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with a deadly cocktail police are very concerned about. It's a cocktail that, well, not only is deadly to those who use it, but those who happen to be around them. Believe it or not, people in that region and various other places around the U.S. are actually drinking a combination of Listerine mouthwash and hand sanitizer. That's right, both items you can buy almost anywhere, but when mixed together, it really messes you up. They say that one bottle of hand sanitizer is the equivalent of 5 hard alcohol shots. You combine that with Listerine, which has about 26%, and you're talking about something that not only will get you absolutely schnockered, but has an effect on the brain which drives you practically insane. Just over the past few weeks, there have been at least 2 deaths connected with this. And apparently, people get so messed up on this combo, they are actually driven to murder others. Cops say they found a dead woman downtown, and not too long after that, a dead 42-year-old man who had been beaten to death. In both cases, they discovered empty bottles of hand sanitizer and mouthwash covered in blood. The effects on the people who drink this vile combo range from, well, simple diarrhea, yeah, to blindness, memory loss, terrible internal organ damage. Nothing is reversible. And yet, of course, it's not illegal to sell those 2 items, so the police are traveling around to various stores, grocery stores, drug stores, talking to clerks, educating them about the fact this is being done, and imploring them to be more cautious when they sell these products to people, especially if somebody comes in and they look like they're already drunk or they are behaving in some suspicious manner. But, you know, it just goes to show, doesn't matter how many laws you pass, what you, you know, make illegal, people are always going to find a way that get screwed up. And in this case, it is a cocktail which is driving people to do monstrous things. But, you know, it seems like that's just another sign of the times, because it is 2012 and things are getting more and more crazy and unpredictable. We're going to talk about it all tonight. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua, and welcome back. Might be a little premature to say welcome back because you're taking off again tomorrow.
That's right. You know, I was able to just come into town for a few days, and for those who don't know, I have been traveling nonstop shooting a brand new TV series. Unfortunately, I still can't say what the name of the show is or the network it's going to be on, but the program is supposed to debut next month in May. That's what they're telling us. It's going to be a wild ride. I mean, over the past few weeks, in addition to plane flights, I've traveled by car thousands and thousands of miles, and it's really just been a blur of activity, but I know people are going to love this new TV series. So now, yeah, I'm just back in town for a few days here to do this program because people have been emailing me saying, we want to have new content, we want something new, because so much is happening in the world, and yet at the same time, you, Forrest, and Mr. Mobius have done a fantastic job of digging up some great best-ofs that everybody is enjoying as well.
We have, and, you know, as always, if anyone wants to hear a certain show or a certain topic, just email us at speakingofstrange.com and tell us, hey, we want to hear this show with this guy or this date, and just let us know, it's like, that you want to hear that show again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the way to do it. And there are still older shows being transferred as we speak. That operation, that process is underway. And, of course, there is such a spectrum of activity happening right now as we get deeper into 2012. I've got just a stack of stories in front of me. We're going to just tackle it. We're going to jump into it, see how far we can go through it this hour. But I hope everybody will just kind of kick back, relax. We're just going to BS for a while tonight. I think hour number two, we might get into this new story that's come out, a list about the 25 biggest mysteries of history. But there's no way we could adequately explore the plethora of multifaceted stuff happening in this crazy time without the insight of investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are you doing, Shelley?
Great. How are you? It's nice to have you back.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's weird. I kind of dusting off the hardware here. A little awkward getting the machine, the monster, up and running again here for us.
Got to kick it a couple times to make it work right.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, bear with us. And, you know, what's weird also, Shelley, is here I am out there covering all of these amazing stories, and then I'm going to be back for just a short period of time in early May, and we'll knock out a couple more, hopefully, Speaking of Strangers. And then you and I and quite a few of our friends and colleagues are heading off to Transylvania for 2 weeks.
Just around the corner. We're going to have such a good time.
Exploring, you know, Dracula's castles. So, you know, even though right now it's a little wishy-washy in terms of, you know, what we're going to be able to include in the program and what we can't with the travel schedule, the good news is, come early June, this TV show will be out, so I'll be able to talk about all the things that I've been investigating. Plus, we'll be able to discuss the amazing adventure we just have had in Transylvania. All this is going to break open at once. It's going to be this unimaginable, orgasmic explosion of mind-boggling content that's going to hit everybody at once. My goal is to do everything I can to ensure that each person listening to this show achieves nirvana all at once in one big quivering moment of ecstasy. Is that too much for the airwaves? Okay,
no,
fine.
We shall see.
Well, you know, as if there was not enough going on in general right now with it being 2012, it also happens to be the month of April. And, of course, a little later I'm going to tell you about why that this April is really the trigger, if you will, for the final cycle of the Mayan calendar. But I always have to point out that April is traditionally kind of a bad luck month. And, of course, luck is up to subjective interpretation, but a lot of things that are significant happen, and most of them kind of negative, around April of every year. For example, you know, April begins with April Fool's Day, and it's also tax time here in the U.S., which is generally unpleasant for most people. We look back through history here. The American Revolution started in April 18th, 19th of 1775 with Paul Revere's ride. The American Civil War started April of 1861, ended April of 1865, thus across five Aprils. The Battle of Asheville even happened in April. We had a lot of genocides. The Rwandan genocide, April of 1994. The Armenian genocide, April of 1915. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated April 14th of 1865. The 1906 San Francisco earthquake, April 18th. The Titanic sank April 14th, 15th of April 1912. The Red Baron killed his 80th victim before being gunned down himself April of 1918. Martin Luther King Jr. assassinated April 4th of 1968. Apollo 13, the notorious unsuccessful mission to the moon, launched April 11th of 1970. The Chernobyl nuclear accident, April 26th of 1986. The 1992 L.A. riots after the Rodney King verdict, April 29th. The bloody end to the Branch Davidian siege in Waco, Texas, April 19th of 1993. Oklahoma City bombing, April 19th of 1995. Columbine High School Massacre in Littleton, Colorado, April 20th of 1999. April 2nd of 2006, 29 people died in Tennessee of tornadoes. 2007, the Virginia Tech Massacre happened in April. The Deepwater Horizon drilling rig exploded, killing 11 people, creating one of the largest environmental disasters in history, April 20th of 2010. Hitler was born April 20th of 1889. He died April 30th of 1945. Saddam Hussein, born April 28th of 1937. His reign in Iraq ended with the war. April 9th, 2003, Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan, born April 11th of 1930, Buddha, whatever that's worth, born April 8th. A lot of people think, historically, the real Jesus was born in April. Even locally, the ghoul of the old jail that terrorized prisoners, that was April 18th and 19th of 1908. It just goes on and on and on. And so here it is, 2012. It's April. The cycles are continuing to crescendo here. And we're going to dig into just how weird it's all getting tonight best we can. Bear with us. Hang on. It's going to be a wild ride. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
A long time since I've seen your smiling face. It's been a long time since I've seen a sunny day. It's been a long time since you wore your pillbox hat. Thank you.
Beach.
Yes, it's been a while since we have produced a new show for you, but that's because we are working on something so big, something so outstanding that it's hard to even describe. It's hard to place into words how fantastic the payoff is going to be. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. And 2012 is turning out to be just as crazy as we thought. And, you know, I can't tell you the stories that I've been covering for this new TV series. And, you know, we're shooting the entire series at once. But I found that while I was traveling around, there was some really amazing timing. For example, I just so happened to be in Savannah, Georgia on St. Patrick's Day, which was a madhouse. It was one of the biggest St. Patrick's parties in the country. I mean, it was all over the media. You may have seen some of my tweets. And what's that
part? I actually have a friend, a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Who was actually a bartender down in Savannah, Georgia for St. Patrick's Day. $1,600 in tips.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, you couldn't walk anywhere. If you've ever been to Belshire, you know, maybe increase that by like 10, and that's what it was. You just, again, look at some of the pictures that I tweeted. I mean, just insane. I just so happened to be in St. Petersburg, Florida, right when the IndyCar Grand Prix was getting kicked off, where they close off all the streets, and they've got IndyCars from all over the world just zooming at light speed down the streets, and the place was just jam-packed. It was really cool, a lot of electricity in the air. I just so happened to be in New Orleans, Louisiana, Final Four weekend, and you know, I've never been in a city Final Four week. It was like, this was actually bigger than the Super Bowl because you've got the fans of four different teams all coming together there for days. And it was actually the first time that I'd been back to New Orleans since Katrina. Have you been there since Katrina, Forrest?
I have not.
And I wasn't sure if it was going to be, you know, kind of whitewashed and Disney-fied now. But no, it's just as sordid and seedy and nasty and disgusting as ever. I mean, New Orleans is—it's one of those. Maybe it's the only city I've ever been to where when you walk down the street, the puddles on the street are booze. I mean, you could just carry a big long straw with you and just get messed up. I'm sure there are people who probably do that, actually. They drink from the streets of New Orleans. A little tip for you, a little traveler's tip, how to get messed up for free in New Orleans. You know, and there are sluts everywhere, shaking and jiggling things. And I still don't understand why sometimes you see parents who take their kids, you know, they hold their kids by the hand and walk them down Bourbon Street outside, like, you know, Larry Flint's Hustler Barely Legal Club, and places where they actually have not drawings, not paintings, but photographs and video loops of explicit naked women doing explicit things to each other. I mean, it's just stuff that would not be legal anywhere else. You know, it was just, it's hard to describe what it's like to be in a place like New Orleans at night when on Final Four weekend when everybody is messed up. And, you know, what I realized, day one, everybody was all happy and they were psyched and they were getting geared up to, you know, to go out and promote their team. But I just knew, after the first night, you're going to have some really pissed off people because somebody's going to have to lose tonight. And so sure enough, a good segment of the crowd was aggressive. You know, yeah, and you're seeing people fighting. People are puking somewhere 24 hours a day. There's always, I mean, you'll be walking down a street at like, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, and there's a guy holding a woman's hair back, and she's just, and you're thinking, did they get started that early, or have they just been up all night? You know, in fact, I have to tell you, after traveling all over the country, the nastiest bathrooms in the world are in the state of Louisiana. I know that I'm not saying great things about New Orleans. No, God bless New Orleans. I'm happy there's a place where you can go and you can wallow in this type of hedonism. It's wonderful that it still exists. But I got to tell you, the nastiest bathroom I have ever been in my entire life was this one bathroom in New Orleans. And I had just been talking to my field producer about going into what I considered the nastiest bathroom ever, and then this one topped it. I had a beer, I went into the bathroom of this bar, closed the door, and I swear it looked like some kind of movie set. It looked like I had stepped into a David Lynch film. It was a one-seater. There's a toilet there, all broken and askew. The toilet was full of feces and vomit. The walls had blood and mucus and boogers and things smeared everywhere. There was horrible graffiti written all over the place. There was like one little light bulb in the corner that was kind of flickering on and off and gave it this like psychedelic, and it was just, I can hardly pee. Yeah, that's pretty bad when you can hardly pee, it's so gross. Because I knew that the moment I stirred up what was in that toilet, because I sure wasn't going to flush it, the moment I stirred it up, and that aroma awakened, as they call it, there was this palpable wall that made my, a wall of fumes that made my eyes burn. And I don't even know if I waited long enough to zip my pants up. I actually left that bathroom, and I ended up going to another bathroom just to wash my hands after being in that bathroom. Anyway, it was one thing about the way we shot this TV program. In some cases, you would have an area that was arranged for you, like they would have a hotel set up for us. And we'd go to this really super nice fancy hotel that would cost ridiculous amounts of money, and it was like in St. Petersburg or some other big city, and they would have these huge swimming pools with waterfalls, and you're kicking back and you're drinking a cocktail and you know, a little hand sanitizer, a little Listerine, you know, getting it going on. And then, like, the next day, you're driving, like, I drove twice clear across the state of Texas all the way to the Mexican border, to a place that doesn't even have a name, to a place that is considered uninhabitable zone. And at one point, you know, we're just driving as far as we could, and it was like, hey, when you get tired, just find a place to pull over. So at one point we pulled over in this little town in Texas, and it turns out apparently there's been some kind of an oil boom. And so this was about 4:30 in the morning. It was one of those deals when we were going to snatch about 4 hours of sleep before getting back in the car. And there were no rooms. I mean, we thought we were just going to have to sleep in the car. Finally, at this little, like, run-down, crappy motel, they had, like, the last two rooms in this huge region of Texas. So I went in to the room, just collapsed. You know, I was so tired. That room was so nasty that when I woke up the next day, I discovered that a big, fat, juicy roach had crawled during the 4 hours I was sleeping into the bathroom and dropped dead. He was just laying there with his arms and legs in the air. And I realized, man, this was so nasty, it killed the roach. The roach died in here. And so, you know, it was an ups and downs sort of experience, a very textured cross-country situation where, you know, it's you might be I met Ric Flair. How's that for hanging out with with big celebrities? Woo! Yeah, you probably saw my tweet about that, Forrest.
I did.
Yeah, I met Ric Flair. I went into a fancy hotel and I sat down at the bar, and I thought it was Ric Flair. Sure enough, it was Ric Flair. He was a real nice fella. He bought me a drink. Ric Flair bought me a drink.
The Nature Boy bought Joshua P. Warren a drink.
But, you know, I realized after we were real nice, and he was real nice, and it was a great thing. We walked away, and I told my film producer, you know, God, maybe we should go back and just kick his ass. Because then we can say, I kicked Ric Flair's ass. Sure, it would be 2-on-1, and sure, he's old. But how many people could say, I kicked Ric Flair's ass? I didn't do it, though.
Well,
maybe I'm blue.
Say Ric Flair bought me a drink.
Yeah, you're right. That's good enough, Rick. Don't look me up, please. I would never do that to you. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, well, who knows where the conversation will go. We're digging into a lot of the strangeness happening this particular season. It's 2012. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
One thing that makes spring complete for me, and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if Sunday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
Yeah, don't hurt me, Ric Flair. Please, please. Forrest, you'll protect me from Ric Flair, right?
Sure, Mr. Warren. Sure.
I was saying during the break, Ric Flair is up in his 60s now, and when you see him up close, he's got these huge, big, red, bulging muscles and veins. It looks like his skin's just going to split open, and these muscles are going to pop out. Something not natural about that, but he is the nature boy.
He is. And I'm sure he's got a nice young wife to support him.
Yes, he certainly does. Absolutely. He, I probably shouldn't pass along certain privileged celebrity information, but he told me he just got an endorsement deal with a major company.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty good at his age.
Cool.
It's one of those deals.
Gotcha.
We're going to talk some in hour two about mysteries. There's a list that's come out of the 25 biggest mysteries. And one of the mysteries, of course, that people are talking about a lot now is the Mayan mystery. What's happening here as we lead up to December of 2012. And I mentioned before that if you really put any stock at all in the Mayan thing, and of course, if you don't understand the Mayan thing, just go to joshuapwarren.com and watch my presentation about 2012 there. I have a little illustration here, and Shelley, you and Forrest can see this. It's a Mayan pyramid. And this is a graphic that the Mayans used to pretty much illustrate the cycles that they say are leading up to this singularity, this major incident of change that will happen around December 21st. And it begins with what's called a hoblatun, which is a period of 16.4 billion years. And then you have a smaller cycle called an Olatun, which is 820 million years. And then you have a Kinchelton, which is 41 million years. And it gets smaller and smaller. You have Koblatoons and Peaktoons and Boktoons and Katoons. And finally you work down to Toons. And a Toon is something like 4,680 days. And then after Toon, you get to this very last period, and it's just called Days. It's not even a tune anymore, Forrest. It's a day measurement. And it is the period of the last 260 days leading up to December 21st of 2012. And that began on April the 5th. Figures it would start in April. So what that means is that such an enormous amount of change is supposed to happen between now and December 21st, that essentially the same amount of change that has happened in billions of years is going to take place in the last 260 days of this year. And it's almost believable because just look at the rate at which information travels now. It's almost instantaneous. And who knows how all this is going to work. You know, I've described it before, like dropping that ball, and he goes, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. And then it finally stops. So we're getting to that point where the wave is breaking down. Who knows what that is going to mean for us? But the world seems to be going a little batty right now. I have a story right here about gun sales. Gun sales are just booming. Have you guys heard about this? Gun sales are going crazy. Says right here, buyers in record numbers are flooding into gun stores, retailers say. Ammo, too, flying off the shelves. And some people actually believe that it may have something to do with doomsday preparation to kill zombies. Now, Shelley, is your microphone on? I know we just came back from a break. No, okay. You've been silenced. Because our producer is... Let's turn Shelly's microphone on. Okay, so Shelly, I've never been that much into the zombie thing.
Right.
But I swear, the zombie thing keeps coming up so frequently that I'm starting to think that there are people who really believe a zombie apocalypse is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid people think that.
Well, can you tell me something about this that I don't understand or I don't know?
No, I have no idea.
Even one of the stories that I did had a connection to the zombie thing. And I mean, the zombie thing has been talked about for a long time. But now it's getting to the point to where people are literally believing that we might see some type of a mental affliction that en masse transforms hordes of members of the population into zombies. And it starts with little things like the people who've been flipping out on airplanes, right? Like the pilot who flipped out, the flight attendant, passengers flipping out, this stuff is so common now, it's not even breaking news. But the idea is that little by little, people's minds or brains are being infiltrated by some type of an infective agent, and they're going to turn into these mindless attacking masses. And there are people who are stocking up, not because they're worried about some natural disaster. They're worried about zombies. Now, Forrest, I was just telling to Shelley, telling her, you know, there are people I've talked to who are serious about this. They're not
right.
Looking at zombies as part of a fictional universe. They're looking at this as something that needs to be prepared for. Why suddenly have people started taking zombies so seriously?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's been sort of infiltrated pop culture here lately with like series and movies that are out right now. That might be one thing that's sort of ingrained into their psyche. Of course, you know, the opposite effect might be in the fact that this infection is coming. That's why people are wanting to do series like this. They might know something that we might not know.
Hmm. Well, people are definitely doing a lot of weird stuff. For example, here's one from Melbourne, Australia. Four businessmen apparently went to the, I guess kind of like the penthouse floor of a very tall building, 55 floors up. Each of the businessmen ordered a very expensive drink, 14 pounds, which is, what, close to like $30. So a $30 drink. They each had their $30 beverage, and I don't know what was in this. Probably Listerine and hand sanitizer. All of a sudden, screams erupt at the swanky penthouse bar, because after downing the shots, the four businessmen all ran and jumped off the balcony. So these guys are falling to what appears to be, you know, certain death, and at the last minute, boom, parachutes come out from under their suits. These guys, daredevil base jumpers. Down to the ground level safely. One got entangled in a tree, and then they hit the road. They got the hell out of there. They have not caught these guys. They haven't found them. And some are saying, well, they just were trying to avoid paying for their bar tab. I don't know, but it reminds me of this story from Liverpool, England. 23-year-old guy is in trouble because he ran up a $315,000 bar tab. Now, how is this even possible?
I was going to say.
You know, they usually ask you for a credit card if you want to buy a beer and start a tab. $315,000 bar tab. Says this guy was a financier. Yeah, I guess so. He ordered an 8-gallon bottle of Armand de Brignon champagne, known as the Ace of Spades, that had to be carried to his table by two people. It alone was worth nearly $200,000. This is a world record bar bill at a nightclub. And, however, it says that the guy apparently is not able to pay this bill. He's been arrested. And isn't that amazing that you could go and order the $200,000 bottle and you wouldn't have to pay for that up front?
Yeah.
And then we have this other story from Minnesota about this waitress who got a $12,000 tip. It's one of those stories. And this is the real deal. They're letting her keep it. A $12,000 tip. Has no idea why that somebody gave her this, but the cops have said, oh, well, looks legitimate. Keep it. $12,000. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more strange news. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren.
Well, my name's Conley Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have run the chapel there. They love me, said the old folks. They go to show you never can.
In the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, just kind of popping back for a couple days to say hi before heading back off to do the rest of this TV series. What's ironic is that for the past 4 weeks, well, I guess, you know, up until I came back for a few days, I was so busy that, amazingly enough, for almost 4 weeks, never once did I turn on a television. And I didn't realize that until, you know, it had been a few weeks and I thought about it, and here I am making a TV show. But I never watched TV, and usually, you know, I turn on the TV at least once a day, just watch the news or something. And I don't know if ever in my life I've gone 4 weeks without turning a television on, but it wasn't so bad. I didn't miss it, really. It was one of those things where, you know, you'd work all day, and we were always slammed, and then, yeah, in the evening you'd come back, and you'd grab a shower or something, work on a little editing stuff, and then just drop into bed. Can you remember ever going 4 weeks in your life without turning a TV on, Forrest?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Also, at one point, somewhere way out west, our car got hit by lightning.
What?
Yeah, I was in the vehicle with my field producer, and named Eric, and he was on the telephone, and all of a sudden there was blue light all around the vehicle, and then it sounded like an explosion right over our head. Just he actually felt the heat off of it inside the car. It zapped his cell phone conversation. It was wild. I mean, I have no doubt our car got hit by lightning. I wonder what the chances of that are. But we're out there in the plains. One of those deals where, you know, you can see the weather coming at you for an hour before it gets there. We're going to talk about some mysteries next hour. Mysteries that have to do with Mother Nature. Mysteries that have to do with stuff like ball lightning, the Tunguska explosion. Somebody's put together a list of the 25 biggest mysteries of history, and we'll see if you agree with this. But, you know, I was talking about how, you know, the behavior of people has become so erratic and bizarre. It's mainstream now. It's you used to have to listen to Speaking of Strange to hear about people's screwed up behavior, but now it's so prominent. Yeah, it's just on the regular news. And it's not just your typical, somebody got murdered, somebody got robbed. I mean, people are just doing very, I guess, untraditional things. Denver, Colorado, right now an embalmer is in trouble because he's been stealing the gold teeth out of people's mouths, the dead people, you know. Somebody comes in, a corpse comes in for funeral preparation, and the embalmer, you know, as soon as he gets a moment alone with the body, goes through and pops out anything gold, melts it down, trades it in. Now, Shelley, you know, I got to talk to you about this story. Wright's Coin Shop.
Yes.
You guys deal in a lot of gold and silver.
Yes.
Has anybody ever walked in and said, you know, here's my crown? How much?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yes.
That's okay, right?
Yes. Well, we don't buy it anymore, but uh-huh. Yes, having people bring their teeth in, it was an everyday occurrence.
Now, what if a guy just comes in and just dumps out a pouch of teeth and says, look, don't ask any questions.
Smile for me. No, we used to buy it. We, you know, mm-hmm. that was just no big deal.
You could have been buying dead people's teeth for all you knew.
You could have been.
Yeah.
You could have
been. So why don't you do that anymore?
Just because the licensing around here, mm-hmm. North Carolina, you know, has enacted new laws, and you have to go through a big headache of things and, you know, background checks and fingerprinting and new computer systems and logging everything, and it's a pain. You make very, very little for the amount of pain and suffering that you go through in order to log everything. And
well, here in Colorado, it says it was actually a pawnbroker who contacted the police,
mm-hmm.
because the pawnbroker said he thought it was, quote, creepy and, quote, weird that the same person kept coming in to pawn dental gold.
Nobody has that many teeth.
Yeah. And so, you know, the pawnbroker is asking the guy, like, where are you getting all these? And the guy said, well, hey, the teeth are normally just thrown away, so I'm just getting them. And I don't know if that's probably not true. But that was his response. And so, yeah, you know, they started looking into it and said that, you know, he'd done this dozens and dozens of times, worth thousands of dollars. So how much would, say, a typical crown be worth now, do you think?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know.
You think it'd be like $500, that much?
I don't know that it would be that much, because I didn't deal with the scrap part of it,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to bust out the teeth before you can weigh everything.
So it's all attached, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get Mr. Mobius in here, and we'll talk some about the 25 biggest mysteries of history. And also, we have some additional news that we're going to get into. Just weird stuff we're catching up. Teleportation story, time travel story, Ouija board story, snakes on a plane story. I'm not talking about Samuel L. Jackson. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Don't touch that dial.